Hello, hello. This is Chris, seafarer turned designer.
And this is Carl, nurse turned designer. Welcome to Design Shifters,
a podcast on how people shift to design. Welcome to our episode 3 of Design Shifters. And yeah, it's been a long time since we had this conversation. As you have known, there was a lot of things that happened in Cebu, in our city. We were already 2 months delayed on this release, but yeah, we tried to work ourselves up because there was a huge typhoon, super typhoon Rai. Local name is Odette. We have to pick ourselves up and rise from the ground, literally, because so many houses were devastated. And yeah, electricity was out, mobile network was out. So yeah, but now we're back. Sadly, our co-host, Carl, cannot make it for this recording because they still don't have the internet and also their electricity. So with that, we decided to just go with it since... I think we can still push to share the story of our guest for today, Dax Karim Doctora. By the way, Dax is a graduate of BS Industrial Engineering, worked in different industries from insurance, engineering, operations, and freight management before really shifting into design. Currently, he's working as a UI UX designer at Lanex Corporation, a Japanese company that has offices in Cebu, in US, and in South Africa. So with that, we would like to welcome Dax Karim Doctora. Welcome, Dax.
Hello, so, thank you for having me.
It's
nice to be here.
And also, thank you also for really gracing our podcast because, yeah, there's a lot of things that happened, but you still managed to show up.
Yeah. So
we're very thankful for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to be here. Chris.
Yeah, totally. Just a brief background, by the way, before we begin. Dax is actually one of the students of Carl when Carl was teaching UX in SF Tech University. Dax happened to be one of those individuals that really sparked the interest in Carl. Carl mentioned it many times. You probably heard about this, Dax, but he said you were one of the finest students during that time. Sorry for the plug. I really want to understand, like, how was your story before and how did you transition? Because I think that's one of the highlights of every story of the shifters, right? Because there's been, like, a huge mystery. Shifting to design is a huge mystery. Until now, really, only a few people wanted to shift because they are afraid and they don't know the whole process going through that. So I think before we jump into the shifting part, like, how was your life before design? What's your job before jumping to design?
Yeah, I mean, I would just like to react on the shameless plug. I mean, I wanted to shy away with that. The thing that Carl said of being like one of the bright students. So it was kind of overwhelming, but I mean, yeah. So before shifting to design, I graduated 2015, as what you mentioned earlier, as industrial engineer. So I started as I started my career in the BPO industry, particularly in insurance. Mm-hmm. So basically I was a claims analyst for a certain company. So I stayed for almost 2 years. So it was really a good job with the benefits and the pay, but with this pressure or like external pressure of like, yeah, you are an engineer, you have to practice your profession. So I switched jobs basically. So yeah.
I just want to clear out, you work in a BPO industry for an insurance company.
Correct.
Right. So what was your day-to-day job on that? Describe your day-to-day job before, like, mm-hmm. working as an insurance in an insurance company.
Mm-hmm. Basically, my day-to-day job is like sitting on the floor, in the production floor, and then checking on the files for insurance claims. So basically, mm-hmm. we process death claims. So wow. when someone passes away, so when you got an insurance, your technically your beneficiary would like to claim something for their death benefit. So yeah, we process those. We analyze how their insurance or the insurance policy is, the death benefit, we compute them. And then if they are eligible for payout, then we pay them. We disburse the cash or check.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So after working in an insurance company, you shifted to industrial engineering job?
No, I think it's more of a general engineering. So I moved into a engineering job which focuses on automotives. So basically, my day-to-day job was to... benchmark on existing cars. So we do have a physical car. So we tear down those, we get the components, we get the parts, we analyze the vehicle architecture, and then we compare it to competitors. And then from that, it's our output is basically the input of another team. So they actually I would say they, based on our output, that would be a basis for design, future designs for vehicles. So
got it.
Yeah.
But at least that's like closer to like working as an engineer, right?
Yes,
so from
exactly.
Working in insurance to working in engineering projects. But you graduated with industrial engineering. How different was that in your job, the job you shifted?
I think it's more of the operations. I mean, with the claims job, Chris.
I got it.
Yeah, it's kind of a really different one because basically I was processing claims while when working on an engineering job. It's more of, it's we use critical analysis and critical thinking on both jobs, but there's this technicalities more for an engineering, technically an engineering job. So I don't know how to explain that. it's kind of more technical, actually. But both jobs are really good. You have to like analyze stuff. You have to decide. You have to trust your own judgment, not like messing up things. Yeah.
Interesting. So, what led you to design? So coming from like insurance and then engineering, what led you to design then?
This is something like I was not really planning. So basically, to be for the record, I already have 4 jobs for like in like 6-7 years, I think. So basically, I was just jumping one job from another. So I was in my 3rd job, I think. I was working at a construction and property management company, real estate company. I was working as an operations excellence associate. So basically, what we do is documenting all the processes, streamlining them finding the bottlenecks, and then implementing them. Also, that would be that document would serve as initial or the basis for ISO certification. So, basically that's my job. During that time, I was on my first sem of my MBA. So, I took MBA, but I was not able. I decided not to finish it. So, I was siguro mid-sem. I was really contemplating of what I really wanted to do, because MBA is like sitting on a classroom, listening to your instructors, reading materials, reading research stuff. So I won't say it's boring, but it's kind of, cigarettes not my thing. So I was really contemplating. I feel somehow lost during that time. So one faithful Saturday, I met my instructor, and then I think he recognized me. Like, hey, are you in grad school? I said, yeah, I am. So what are you taking? I said, I'm taking MBA. And he was like, why are you not taking Master's in Industrial Engineering? And he was like, I really don't know the answer. So, we talk about a lot of things, like our teachers, our colleagues, where are they now? And then I think he mentioned a course. It was usability engineering, and it got stuck in my head from there on. And I think I remembered that day I went home and I searched for, I opened Google, and then I searched for usability engineering Cebu. I think the first thing I did on that day, that night. And then I saw Cebu XD. So, and then I clicked the link. It routed me to Facebook. And then I was scrolling down. I dug deeper until I saw SF Tech, SF Tech's UI and UX design bootcamp. And I think from there, it started my UX journey.
Wow, very interesting. Just for the listeners, Cebu UXD is actually a Cebu-based UX community wherein we gather around and talk about UX, talk about design, and conduct workshops, boot camps, and design events, really. So I'm actually one of the co-organizers of that organization. So it's funny how people really connect down to that community, right? Because what you've heard from Dax, his story really resonates to most of the people who really wanted to jump into design. And going back to the topic, because you mentioned that how you started in UX is basically from the UX community. Was that enough to convince you to fully shift into design?
Interesting question. So, I think I haven't thought of it until now. I was thinking that, personally, I have this. I mean, I won't say it's passion, seriously. I would say I know what I want. So I wanted something. What I'm doing has a purpose. I wanted some kind of fulfillment. Also, I wanted something new, something fresh, something that would make me grow as a person, an individual, and also my career. And I somehow remembered a word from way back from college. It's called Kaizen. So basically, it's a Japanese word that means...
What is it about?
That means change for the better or continuous improvement. So it got stuck on me. And then I think what I really enjoyed when way back in college, I really enjoyed usability engineering. And I think that thing is related to UX design. I kind of Googled and did my research, quote unquote research. So I think that's what pushed me, because yeah, I think I know what I want, and I enjoyed that. Say usability engineering way back in college. So why not pursue a career on basing on that? So I think that's how I jumped, or like fully jumped to UX design.
Interesting. Because you mentioned earlier, like you started in insurance and then you found your way into industrial, like automotive engineering, and then you found another job working as a QA, right? Quality assurance. And then somehow you found yourself going back into like industrial engineering in a new package form, like usability engineering.
Yeah.
So it's funny how you managed to turn 360 and went back again to engineering. But yeah, it's another form. Well, it's closer to usability and UX. So tell us what was your challenges? What were the challenges you faced when you were like shifting, like your transition into design?
Mm-hmm. So first would be, I would say, first challenge I encountered when I shifted to design is like finding an avenue in which, I would learn the basics of UX design. So at that time, I think it was 2018, the information for UX design is really scarce. I would say in Cebu, I think it's really scarce, the information or like the availability of UX design, UX design related information or like resources or like.
So how did you address that gap? How did you find your resources then?
Yeah. Thankfully, that time, it was I think just a week when SF Tech posted that they're having this UX bootcamp, and I think that sparked. I mean, that addressed my initial challenges of finding an avenue.
Mm.
When me shifting to a UX design career. Another challenge that I think I encountered was, after finishing the bootcamp, Chris, it was, as a career shifter, it was really hard for me to land in an entry-level job. So, yeah, I resorted to finding an internship, which was non-existent here in Cebu, so I had to like find an internship outside of Cebu. Basically, I found my way to a company from Manila, Makati to be exact. So, yeah, the thing is, it was kind of hard because I have to like relocate myself to another place just to like have that opportunity for me to shift wholly to a UX design job.
Got it.
Yeah.
So your internship was in Manila. It's a company in Manila?
Yes, it was a company in Manila. So the story is, I got accepted January 2020. So I was supposed to fly there February, and then COVID happened. So I have to push back, like, I think until September 2020. So that's when I started working or like being an intern for that company.
And so, this company is Lanex?
It's Quiddity.
It's Quiddity.
Yeah. I got accepted as an intern at Quiddity.
Wow. So tell us, I just want to hear the backstory before you were accepted at Quiddity. You mentioned about this bootcamp. This was the bootcamp that Carl was teaching?
Correct. It was that bootcamp.
Tell us your experience about the bootcamp, though. How was it? How did it improve your skills in design?
Yeah, it was really an eye-opening bootcamp for me. All I know, I haven't heard of UX design. I haven't heard of user experience previously. All I know is usability engineering, and I was just like caged into that knowledge. And then when I joined the UX design bootcamp, it taught me everything, the basics of UX design. So the design thinking process, discovery, research, prototype, validation, the techniques, how to do things, creating your portfolio, communicating or reporting your portfolio to different stakeholders. So it was really a hands-on bootcamp. It's not all theory. Everything is like theory and then application. Theory application. So it was, I think, a four-week bootcamp or 8 weeks. I really don't remember, but yeah, the duration is like somewhere from 4 to 8 weeks.
Got it. So what was other design education you had like before or after the bootcamp? Was there any other courses you took?
Actually, now I just started last year, IDF. I got few certifications from there, so I think that's my only avenue of like continually improving my UX design skills.
Got it. So the way I see it is, when you took the internship application for Quiddity, Quiddity, by the way, is one of the biggest UX company in the Philippines. I've done some research into them, so yeah, I know they've been doing a lot of jobs, a lot of projects with big companies here in the Philippines. So I just want to identify and find out, dig deep also, what is it that Quiddity found that they should hire you and not the other applicants? What do you think? What were like the defining factor into that?
To be honest, Chris, I don't really remember what I said during the interview. So I think I don't have any like how they pick or the criteria for picking an intern. But yeah. I for me, when I said when I applied, I remembered saying I don't have the experience. I graduated from a bootcamp, but what I can assure is that there's this passion for learning and continuous improvement. And I think that's one selling point that made me got accepted to that internship.
You mentioned about Kaizen? No.
Yeah, Kaizen, yeah, correct. But no, I didn't mention about Kaizen, but it's the continuous improvement.
Exactly.
The translation. Yeah.
It's the heart and soul of Kaizen.
Correct.
I want to find out, because it's pretty common with shifters, when you were like working in your job and then you shifted to design, most of your family or friends will doubt or will question your motives or your actions. Why did you shift? What got into your mind? There's a lot of that, right? I assume there were. How did you handle those like doubters or those people who question your transition?
Mm-hmm. Actually, it's something I haven't shared to anyone. So basically, shifting careers to UX design was solely my decision.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, like, it got to a time where I doubted myself, honestly. It was, I think, when I finished my internship, so I need to find a job related to UX design. It came to a point that I wanted to like stop. I wanted to like, I mean, I have doubts about myself. Like, yeah, I have sent a lot of applications, but still I got no response, or like when I got response, I only made it to like the initial interview. So, I mean, I almost called it, but I think there's, with the help of like friends, networks, I managed to break through.
Nice, nice. So what kept you going? What convinced you that, hey, this is me, this is how I want to be? What convinced you that this is your path, this is where you want to lead your future career?
Yeah. I think what helped me to continue pursuing UX design is with the help of a mentor. Carl is my mentor. He helped me look for jobs, reviewed my resume, did mock interviews. I mean, it doesn't have to be a specific person. It could be anyone. It could be anyone that has knowledge of the industry. So I think finding a good mentor, a good network, a good community would help you with your UX design shift.
Since Carl is not here, how do you rate Carl as a mentor?
This is no bias, Carl, but 20 out of 10.
No.
But yeah, Carl is really helpful. He really helped me along with my journey. So shout out to Carl.
Nice. Yeah, Carl is like also one of the few people that really taught me design, because I joined also our company before, where we were both colleagues. I joined like 2 years before. I don't know, 2 years after Carl. 2 years or 3 years. So Carl was there already at Lexmark Carpenter Company. Then I joined in, and he was one of the first few people who really taught me. So yeah, I can attest to that also, that Carl is really one of the few people who is willing to help other people who wants to learn UX.
Yeah, so exactly.
I can attest to that also. So I can see you were like guided in your journey. So even if you doubted yourself, you still somehow find a light into your path. I know it's kind of metaphorical, but yeah. What other avenues, or how did you educate yourself? How did you keep growing? Even though, of course, you have your mentor, but what other avenues that you did in order to grow further?
So you have a lot of resources with the internet. So basically, I just tried accessing different resources, read articles, and kept on improving my portfolio, which I think, looking back from now, I think it's really bad, actually. So I think the key here is like to continuously learn. And I mean, UX is a ever changing industry. There's no fixed, I mean, what could be true for now would not be true for in the next 6 months or a year. So basically, you have to keep abreast of the trends, what's new, what's working, and what's not working. I think that's it.
Nice, nice. So how did you land a job at Atlantix, your current company?
Yeah. Again, it's with the help of Carl. So I think Carl knows someone that is working at Atlantix, and then he asked me to submit my resume, and then it was really fun. It was a really interesting application because, yeah, for 3 months I have been receiving rejections or no calls, but when I got Atlantix, I mean, you just need that one person or one company that will believe on your skills. So I think the thing here is like you have just have faith in yourself. So I submitted my resume, I think 8 a.m. on a Thursday on a Thursday, and then I receive an email basically before lunch that I was scheduled for an interview. So yeah, we did the interview around 2 p.m. and then I think it went well. I was not expecting to receive a feedback immediately, but I got an email that saying I was considered for the job, and like I received a job offer. Like, it was that instant. Imagine, I was almost thinking of quitting UX and then move just one day, and then I got a job already. So yeah, I think life is really funny sometimes. And then yeah, I think that's how I got my first job as a UX designer.
Wow, that's really interesting, because I can imagine how exciting the news you received when you read the acceptance email.
Exactly. So
I wanna understand, like, because before that you were an engineer, right? Mm-hmm. So when did you realize that you are not an industrial engineer already?
I think by heart I'm still industrial engineer, because the core competence as an industrial engineer is to like solve problems, find solutions to problems regardless of the constraints. So I think UX is still anchored to that in some ways. So I think there's not so much of a deviation, but I would say it helped me. Like it helped me to fully understand what UX is.
Exactly. Yeah, the way I see it, it's industrial engineering that prepared the grounds for you to gain your roots in UX design.
Correct.
So somehow
somehow, I mean, it's not the technical skills, but the soft skills that you gain. I think that's one key factor in shifting.
Makes sense. So what were the skills in industrial engineering that you found very useful in design when you were working as a UX designer?
Nice question. Now that I think of it, I would say that the useful skills that I learned from the industrial engineering when I transitioned to as a UX designer are like the critical thinking skills, systems thinking, communication. This is in consideration with my previous jobs. Talking to a lot of people, different stakeholders, from your client to your colleagues to your teammates, and then shifting from one job to another, it gives you like an edge of understanding different industries, different perspectives. And I think eventually I developed somehow a key skill for UX design, which is user empathy. So I started to understand how people would feel. I kind of empathize with people with their pain points, And then with that, we have to solve that pain point for them to like enjoy the experience of using something.
Exactly.
Maybe a physical product. It may be a physical product or like an app or a website. So, yeah.
It's really about understanding the user first and then finding out their problems, and then which pretty much is industrial engineering, right?
Yes. Yes, exactly. So it all boils down to the user and like what their pain points are. So from there, we can attack or like we can address the main issue. So yeah, we have this 80-20 or like the Pareto rule.
The Pareto.
Yeah. So I think UX is still like that.
Interesting. So you mentioned about the similarities and how industrial engineering is pretty much close to design in UX design. What in your current job, describe your like day-to-day job. How do you go about being a UX designer at Lanex?
Mm. Mm-hmm. So actually, basically, my day-to-day job is like, first thing I do is like check my cards or like check the Jira tickets. Yep. And then check my emails, and then check my Slack, and then addressing those concerns. And once I got that out of the way, I can now start addressing those Jira tickets. So basically, we're doing this 2-week sprint, and then we plan the things that we would do. What else? Do this huddle.
Yeah.
Every afternoon, and then addressing the issues, the good what are issues that we may encounter, or the blockers that we may encounter, and then if we are ahead of the sprint, like the common things.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it's a constant communication with the developers, the project manager, and then we have this client meetings, design approvals. So I'm almost a year in the UX design job, but still, I think, learning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no, how I would say this. It's still a continuous learning. I won't say I already know 100% the job, but at least I have confidence now with what I'm doing.
So you mentioned about confidence, because me as a UX designer, it actually took me quite a long time before to gain that confidence. How did you gain it? Like, when did you fully convince yourself, like, hey, I'm the UX designer here. This is how we should solve the problem. How did you gain, and like when in your journey have you fully convinced yourself that you are the UX designer?
I think it comes with time. When you do projects, you start to gain knowledge, you start to gain you start to know how processes work.
Mm-hmm.
You start to know how you talk to people, your team, your project managers. You learn how to communicate effectively.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's no exact way of saying that I already have confidence just because I've done this or done that. It's still open communication. And then when you communicate well, your team also communicates well with you. And with that, you can say, yeah, I've got this person's back when I decide for something, like when I do design decisions, like should they put this here or like should we include this functionality, and then the devs, I would communicate it with the devs, like, hey, is this feasible with the current timeline? And then they would say, yeah, it's fine. I mean, it's still feasible. I think we could go with that. And then, yeah, I could say, nah. Yeah, I think my decisions are like, my decision making is backed by someone else. Mm. And then you gain confidence.
So it's like more beyond user empathy, but I'm hearing that it's more of understanding the team and be able to work as a team. Also gaining team empathy, if that makes sense. So somehow you want to communicate that the team is behind this whole project. It's not really just you. Is that right?
Yeah. As a UX designer, that's one factor that I would say that I'm the UX designer. Aside from that, there's still this you're still dealing with other stakeholders, right? You're dealing with clients, how they want to deliver, how they want it to be. There's a lot of friction with that. It's something that when a client asks for something which is not really feasible, or it's not something that is something that has a good user experience, you have to like push back, and then you get to like, I would not say fight, but yeah, there's something, you have to defend yourself. Like, this is what's right.
Yeah.
This is what the user would say. If we implement this, this would like most likely the user would feel.
Yeah, it's more of becoming the voice of the user.
Correct.
Like standing
Correct.
On
voice
their
of
side.
The customer.
Exactly. Which leads me to my next question. How much do you like in your current standing right now as a UX designer, where you came from industrial engineer? How much do you attribute to luck, and how much do you attribute to your skills and talent? Like
luck
percentage
and skills. I think.
How much do you attribute to luck? And how much do you attribute to your skills and talent? Like, just a percentage, probably.
I think luck would be, I would say,
50-50.
20%? 10%, I guess. Yeah. Because, I mean, if you just bank on luck and you don't, like, continuously learn, how would you, like, how would you present yourself to companies out there? So basically you have to still learn, and then you keep learning, absorb everything that you can absorb, read articles that you can read, what are the trends, what's the ins and outs, practice. And then eventually when you have the knowledge, and then when you have the knowledge and then you show it in your portfolio, I mean, you could say that you've done your job, and then basically luck comes next. So yeah, you can't put luck at first when you're not doing anything. So you have to plant the seeds now and then reap the fruits later.
So you're seeing 10% luck and 90% skills and talent.
It's really hard to say that. I'm kind of I'm having reservations with that, because personally I would say 20-10% luck, but it's not true to everyone, I guess. I mean I would say in my personal experience, like, luck was like 100% at that day.
Wow.
And my skills are like zero. I mean in the long run it's still 10% luck, but on a good day I would say 100%.
Okay, that's clear. Dax, I want also to have your thoughts. What are your top three tips or lessons you can share to those who are planning to shift to design?
This is on my personal experience, Chris, but
yep.
The tips that I could give is can learn everything that you can learn. There's no ceiling to learning. There's a lot of things that you will discover with UX design. The trends are ever changing. That's one. And then second would be network. Find a good avenue in which you can have a good mentor, a good community to support you and your endeavors in your shift to UX design. Continually improve your skills. So that's the second. And then three. I don't really usually say this, but have faith in yourself and just pray. I think that's the third one that I could impart to the career shifters out there.
Nice. That's really great. I think those three somehow is true. If not all, but at least it's also true to my side in my journey also. So yeah, thank you so much for those beautiful thoughts, Dax. And I think we're out of time, in as much as I want to extend this conversation. Thank you so much, Dax, for sharing your thoughts, your story, and your journey, how you turned from coming from industrial engineer, working in insurance, and then automotive engineering, and then like all of those twists and turns, and then in the end, you still end up in the design where you are right now. So thank you so much for really sharing here in our podcast. Thank you so much. Any final thoughts to our listeners?
Yeah, thank you for having me, Chris, in your podcast, and kudos to the Ergo team, and shout out to Carl for helping me with my shift to UX design. It was really a great help. And final thoughts to the career shifters out there. Strive to continuously improve yourself. When you hit a blocker, just be resilient. And I think eventually you'll break through. It may be hard at first, but it will be worth it. It's a field that you'll feel you are empowered, you are you're working with a purpose, and something that what you design would be delightful to people. I think there's a sense of fulfillment in that.
Nice.
I think that's it.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Dax. This wraps up our episode 3. Yes, thank you so much, Dax. This wraps up our episode 3. Would like to thank Attorney Ian, our sound editor, Denmark Padua, our graphic designer. And of course, I want to thank Carl also, who can't join right now, but he's our co-host. So this is Chris. Thank you for listening and see you in our next episode.